preachers, pastors, leaders, I'm appealing to you. Can we please have some public clarity about moral issues and the Bible?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Some leaders, national, international leaders, highly respected gospel communicators, when they are speaking before the world, often speak in such a way that you can't figure out where they stand. And from my vantage point, it sounds intentional that you can't figure out where they stand. And I don't understand that. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I've got to really tread carefully here because this is not a radio show about he said, she said, and public accusations. And I'm not a gossip columnist, okay? This is not the latest titillating news. Many years ago, I was part of a very difficult public split between two major ministries. We're all friends and reconciled wonderfully. But many years ago, that was the case. And there was some Christian media that came to us during the split and was constantly wanting quotes and updates and almost looking for something negative, for dirt. And then when the reconciliation came and we joined back together, it got very little coverage. And I said to someone with that ministry, some months later, I said, that was not Christian. You covered the negative part and the split like crazy. The reconciliation, which was the big story, hardly got covered. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So why do I say that? I say that because there's some really uncomfortable, difficult things unfolding right now with Brian Houston and Hillsong and Pastor Carl Lentz in New York City and Bishop T.D. Jakes. I mean, when you're talking to Hillsong, when you're talking Bishop Jakes, you're talking massive ministries with tremendous impact and tremendous influence that in so many ways have done so much good to help so many people, for which I rejoice. And yet when there is ambiguity on clear moral and cultural issues, for which there should be no ambiguity, it's one thing to be sure you're not mean-spirited. It's one thing to be sure you're not harsh and judgmental. It's one thing to be sure that you're not hurting people with foolish words. It's another thing to be ambiguous. Ambiguous. Yeah, ambiguous. And in point of fact, friends, in point of fact, we have a flood of ambiguity from leaders. And we've got to get past that. Let me read to you from the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He's talking about speaking in tongues versus prophesying in public. But he said this, even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is for you, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. I'm appealing, pastors, leaders, ministry, colleagues, that we speak with clarity. We may not like the question that the media is asking, but to answer it in a way that makes things more unclear, rather than to say, hey, I'm not going to answer that because you're going to give a soundbite. Here's a whole message I preached on it. Listen to that. No, we give these ambiguous answers. I'm going to give you examples. And then the plot has been thickening by the day in terms of lack of clarity because of contradictory statements from different people on different sides of the issues. That's why clarity from the start would avoid the problems.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. So I just want to update you on a couple of things that are going on. I'm talking about them publicly because they're being talked about publicly. I'm not bringing out secret communication. I'm talking about things publicly because they're being talked about publicly. 866-348-7884 if you want to join in the conversation. All right. Or if you think, hey, we just leave these things, don't say a word about them. Just leave it completely, zero, nothing, because it's unedifying to get involved in the controversies. Hey, go ahead. Give me a call. I wrote an article over the weekend. It posted this morning. Bishop Jakes, could you clarify your stance on homosexuality? Last week, I saw an article. I was sent a link to a video interview that was posted on Huffington Post website. It's a very liberal website. And an article with Mark Lamont Hill, who's a very liberal media leader, journalist, other things. And T.G. Jakes has been interviewed. That was just the segment I saw. He's asked about the relationship between the black church and LGBT community. And when I watched the interview, I was grieved. I was grieved. I thought, come on, answer the questions in a direct way. Be clear. Let you're talking to the world here. You're talking to a lot of non-believers who don't share our values. Let them know where you stand clearly, because we're not hearing that. Well, as a result, headlines came out later in the week. One Christian website, T.G. Jakes, comes out for, quote, gay marriage and LGBT churches, says position is evolving. Now, I listened to that interview carefully, and I said, okay, I don't know that he came out for gay marriage, but he said a number of things that deeply concerned me. And maybe he does support it. I don't know. And then another article, Bishop T.D. Jakes says black church changing stance on LGBT community. Well, we reached out to his office beginning on Friday, didn't hear anything back as of this morning when the article was going to go live, a number of different places. And I'd heard from another Christian organization, they had reached out, not gotten word yet. And then right before the article was going to post, someone sent me a link to his Facebook page, T.D. Jakes' Facebook page, where some hours earlier, he had posted something saying he was shocked, emphasize that word, shocked, to see the article saying that he had come out in favor of same-sex marriage. He accused the Christian website of doing it just to draw attention to itself, and said he's always been clear, you know, he does not affirm same-sex marriage. His position is scriptural and clear. I thought, okay, I'm glad to see that. So we posted that at the end of my article. But a number of other things were said that really led me to have questions. That I want you to hear this. Okay, I want you to listen with me. This is public. I'm getting asked about it constantly. I'm trying to address it constructively. I believe Bishop Jakes will have an article where he's going to answer questions that's going to come out in the next couple of days. So my appeal is for clarity, because Bishop Jakes has a lot of influence with a lot of people, not just a massive church, but a massive TV audience, a massive reading audience. And he's one of the most influential Christian leaders in America. So let's just start to listen to some of the clips so you can understand the lack of clarity. Joey, we'll just start with clip number one.
Has a different opinion on the issue, and every gay person is different. And I think that to speak the church, the black church or white church or any kind of church you want to call it, are all the same is totally, totally not true. And all gay people are not the same. The types of relationships that are afforded are based on the types of people in each individual case. Yeah. And LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe like anybody else.
All right, he was asked by Mark Lamont Hill, what's the relationship between the black church and gay church, between the black church and LGBT community? Why be asked that question? Because the assumption is that black churches are conservative morally, and that black churches, by and large, will not be approving of homosexuality. So that question left me wondering, I don't get it. Say all churches are different, gays are different, and and LGBT people should go to a church where they feel at home. Well, is there a right and wrong? Is there a clear moral standard? You just find the church where you feel comfortable? So that raised questions. We'll keep going over to clip number two.
The church should have the right to have its own convictions and values. If you don't like those convictions and values, you totally disagree with it, don't try to change my house. Move into your own and establish that sort of thing and find somebody who gets what you get about faith. And trust me, I've talked to enough LGBT. They are not all the same.
Oh, for sure. Christians
no,
are the same.
No.
Okay. Sir, you are a shepherd of the sheep. And to make it as if, hey, if you don't like Chinese food, we're in an Italian restaurant, go to a Chinese restaurant. Or if we're in an Italian restaurant, you like Chinese, find yourself a good Chinese restaurant. If you like Italian, come to ours. Well, is there food that's healthy versus unhealthy? Are there churches that are preaching the gospel versus churches that are not preaching the gospel? Is your counsel to someone who says, I'm a practicing homosexual, I'd like to find a church that affirms that? Is your counsel as a pastor to say, great, find a church like that? Or is your counsel to say, you need to find a church that preaches Jesus and tells you the truth, even if it makes you uncomfortable? We're going to love on you if you come to our church, and we're not going to bash you over the head, but we're going to offer you new life and transformation in Jesus. Huffington Post, how did they title the article? Were they looking for attention and trying to misrepresent Bishop Jakes? Their article was entitled Bishop T.D. Jakes Evolved and Evolving and LGBT Issues. Joe, I want you to grab clip number four next. I'm not condemning my brother. I'm simply saying it is wrong to turn around and accuse others of taking you out of context and misrepresenting you when what you said clearly, clearly, clearly gives place to many questions, much misunderstanding, and in my view, falls short of speaking the truth in love, especially before the world. Listen, Bishop Jakes is on Oprah. Does Oprah know that he does not affirm homosexual marriage, does not believe it's right in God's sight? Does she know that he believes homosexual practice is sin? If she knows, does her listening audience know? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to clip number four. The interview continues. And by the way, nothing's being taken out of context. I listened to this entire segment of the interview, which was about 4 or 5 minutes long, and it was loud and clear. Clip number four.
I think that where I am is to better understand, the church bought into the myth that this was a Christian nation. And once you get past that, which a lot of people are going to criticize me because they're still going to think it's Christian nation, which is a whole different show. Mm-hmm. But once you begin to understand that democracy and that a republic actually is designed to be an overarching system to protect our unique nuances, then we no longer look for public policy to reflect biblical ethics. If we can divide, or what you would call separation of church and state, yeah, then we can dwell together more effectively. Because atheists, agnostics, Jews, all types of people, Muslims pay into the government then cannot reflect one particular view over another just because we are the dominant group of religious people in the country, because those numbers are changing every day. We need a neutralized government that protects our right to disagree with one another and agree with one another.
Okay, I agree with part of that. Certainly, I agree with part of that. What do I mean? Certainly, the government needs to preserve our freedoms, and we need to be able to differ. And it's not up to the government to impose a state religion. But once again, in terms of the questions that were being asked, the Christian nation issue was not the issue. Oh, okay. Again, I understand what Bishop Jakes is saying. He's saying you cannot expect the government to impose Christian values on the nation. You cannot expect the government to impose Christian viewpoints on the nation. That's true on the one hand. On the other hand, to say that public policy is not supposed to reflect biblical ethics, you're going to say that during years of slavery and slave trade? We didn't want public policy to reflect biblical ethics then? When Dr. King was leading the civil rights movement, did he not quote passages from the prophets? Did he not quote passages from the Bible talking about change, you know, righteousness and justice? Shouldn't our society reflect that? And yes, it's true that America is not, quote, a Christian nation. It's predominantly Christian belief and Christian population, but not a totally Christian nation, obviously. It wasn't established as such. But the founding fathers, whether they were Christians themselves or not, and there was variety among them, but the founding fathers founded the nation understanding that Christian religious principles would be at the foundation. At the foundation. And the democracy could not exist without those principles operating. 866-34-TRUTH to join in the conversation.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just see if there's another clip that I want to play here. Let's just see. I got a couple more. Joey, we'll grab clips number 5 and 6. I just want you to hear a little bit more of what Bishop Jake said. If you haven't read my article, please do. And it is, just go to AskDrBrown, AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article. Clip number 5.
So that covers what happens outside the church.
Right.
Inside the church, has your thinking biblically, scripturally, hermeneutically shifted at all? And the reason I ask that is because I talk to a lot of ministers now, and there was that big conference out in South Africa in the last couple of weeks where people from all over the world were there, and this is one of the issues that came up along with race and other things. And one of the questions was, is there a way to approach Christian tradition, Christian scripture, in light of a new understanding of LGBT? For example, 18th century, there might have been a particular understanding of what slavery meant. In relation to Paul, in relation to the New Testament, et cetera, that has shifted to the point that it is socially accepted that irrespective of what text says, literally, we don't support slavery as a body.
All right, so I think his question is clear enough. Would you agree? Has your position changed inside the church, biblically, scripturally, hermeneutically? It's a pretty clear question. And here, look, we used to have one view of slavery. We don't have that view anymore. Has your position shifted? Clip number 6.
Similarly, there's room for that same kind of shift.
I think that shift has to go on behind the closed doors of the church, because I think in the mainstream America, anybody who doesn't agree with you, we have a derogatory name to call you. Mm-hmm. And I think it oversimplifies the complexity of text. The fact that you have fidelity to the scriptures as you have been taught does not mean that you're necessarily homophobic or any other kind of phobia. But yet in mainstream America, anybody who doesn't line up with a particular worldview, we give them a name to ostracize them, mm-hmm. much like we were given names to ostracize us. This name-calling does not depict the struggle that many people have theologically. I think the argument has to be theological and not sociological. The fact that the world has turned that way doesn't mean that the Word has changed that way. Mm-hmm. The argument for clergy, fundamental clergy, has to be a theological argument. It cannot be a sociological one.
Agree with that. When he was asked specifically, he said his views have evolved and are evolving. And he said he meant that in his Facebook post in terms of ministering to LGBT people. Okay. He said this for his ministering to, but that was not the question that was being asked. It was about a shift in views. And that's what is so confusing. I'm really hopeful that Bishop Jakes, when he does respond to the media, I believe Christian Post will have an interview with him that will be posted in a couple of days. I really do hope that there will be massive clarity and unambiguous statements, and that those would be played for the world to hear and for Mark Lamont Hill and Huffington Post and CNN and Oprah, so that everyone knows Bishop Jakes has not changed his views on these subjects. But you can understand why you wonder hearing comments. All right. Before I go to the phones, I have a surprise announcement, all right? A surprise announcement. Outlasting the Gay Revolution, we have been announcing for many weeks, will be out September 8th. Well, it's out now. It got printed before I realized it would be printed, and the book is now available. We are about to get copies in to number and sign for those who pre-ordered signed numbered copies. So we'll be doing that shortly. But here's the deal. It's a beautiful hardcover, almost 300 pages. And what we're doing this week is a special package for you, our listening audience. When you get the book, we'll add in as well my debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, America's most famous rabbi, is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis. $30, including postage, for the book and the two-hour debate on DVD. Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Why do you need this book? Because it is a time when people are capitulating. It is a time when people are caving in. It is a time when churches are losing heart. It is a time when we are told the ship has sailed, get over it, culture has changed forever, you've lost the culture wars. It is a book that will give you hope and courage and clarity. It will explain with love and grace why I believe that gay activism has within itself the seeds of self-destruction. And it will lay out 8 principles by which we must live, beginning with never compromise your convictions, and then next, take the highest moral ground. It unfolds what's happening in society in an eye-opening way with material that will have you on the edge of your seat while it will infuse you with hope and courage. I wrote this book to be a manual for the counterculture revolution. I wrote this book to say you can mock my words today, but you are going to mark my words tomorrow. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, to order the book, call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and you'll see the resource offer right there on the homepage, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start in Fairfax, Virginia. Terry, welcome to the Line of Fire. Terry, are you there? All right, looks like Terry's on another call. We'll go to Manhattan. Carol, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, thank you. So I think that what he was saying is his emphasis is not on necessarily all the questions that the commentator was asking him, but rather to state the point that if someone is gay or LGBT, whatever that is, that they... Their beliefs should not infringe on the Christian church. In other words, they should not try and force a pastor to have to marry them if that goes against the principles and the beliefs of that particular church. And I think it's important that he emphasize that because there was a big thing with the case where the couple who had the bakery shop or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And a gay couple came in and felt that they were supposed to serve them.
Carol, I understand that part, but when you're asked, has your own view evolved? And examples given, the church once thought slavery was okay, now it says it's not okay. Has your own view evolved? And you said my view is evolved and evolving without ever clarifying that. And then even say, here's the thing. All these people heard the same interview. And secular headlines and Christian headlines all apparently misinterpreted what one of the most eloquent speakers in the nation was saying. That's the problem.
That's probably so. I mean, any of us sometimes make that comparison. But I did hear him say the word that's not pink.
But the thing is, right, that's the question. What does the word say? I'm with you, but somehow... that was not the part that was heard. All right, gotta run.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Carol, you're still there? All right, I'm not sure. Okay, just wanted to see if she had anything more to say there. Here, look, we have a situation in America today where you'll have a press conference, say, Brian Houston in New York City, press conference. Next thing, he's being quoted as changing views on homosexuality. He issues a clear statement the next day. I understand he didn't want to be pigeonholed. I understand he's compassionate. He cares about people. But when you make a statement, if you're unclear initially, if you're unclear the first time, then you have to clarify afterwards. We should be clear the first time around. Now we're faced with a situation where, say, with Hillsong in New York City, where there's a controversy over an openly well-known gay couple, and they were on reality TV, and they were serving in the choir. One of them was helping lead the choir, and Pastor Brian Houston said, I had no idea that they had that role. We don't accept gay men and women in a leadership role or a ministry role in the church if you're practicing homosexual. Then the couple says, everybody knew who we were. We led a group in our home. Everybody knew who we were. We were quite open about it and in dialogue with the pastors about it. Then you have statements by the pastor of Hillsong, New York City. They're completely, I wouldn't say completely ambiguous. I would say the impression I would get was that he was affirming practicing homosexuals in the church as being part of the body. So how do you expect the world to understand clearly when we have those kind of statements from people with prominent platforms? So can't we just say the Bible is clear that homosexual practice is sin? But we care for everyone. We love everyone. Everyone's welcome to come on our doors. We're going to reach out to them the same way. And we believe that everyone needs equal protection under the law. What is it that hard to say, to put in a clear, look, the scriptures are clear, homosexual practice is sin, marriage is between a man and a woman, but we have separation of church and state, or but the Supreme Court, or whatever your viewpoint is, whether I agree with it or not. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's try to go back to Fairfax, Virginia. Terry, welcome to the line of fire.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I agree with you. The thing is, a lot of tap dancing going on when you ask people of influence what's their view on a tender issue which causes a sway of people. You should just say the truth. You know, the Bible is very clear, thou shalt not steal. That doesn't mean steal a piece of candy or steal a pencil or steal something out of your mother's drawer or steal from a church. Stealing is stealing. It's wrong. So you should say what you mean and mean what you say in old terms. But the thing of it is it's politically based. Nobody want to say anything to hurt somebody's feelings when it comes to votes and it comes to offerings and it comes to members in the church. But everybody sin, and God's word is clear that sin, that there's a payment for it, and if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, then your sins are forgiven. But it says repent, which means you shouldn't be in practice of it. So if you're a thief and you accept Jesus, you should stop stealing. And if you're a killer and you kill folks and you accept Christ, you should stop killing. So if you're a homosexual and you came in as a homosexual, but you accept Christ as your Savior, repent means to stop and turn away. So they should say what they mean. But, you know, America's not that way. You got to make it sound good because you don't want people to not like you. And not like you, you won't be, you know, they're going to exclude you. And when they exclude you, you're not very popular. And everybody wants pride and popularity. So I agree with you. We should say it and stand behind it.
Yeah, very, very eloquent and very clear, Terry. I appreciate it. Look, God knows the motivation in my heart, Bishop Jake's heart, Brian Houston's heart. That's between us and God, the motivation. But what comes out of our mouth, what we actually say, everybody gets to judge and evaluate. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Matt, I want to grab clip number 8. This is Bishop Jakes preaching in his church after the Supreme Court decision came out June 26th. And there are certain things you say I absolutely agree with. And the Supreme Court was not debating what does the Bible say about homosexual practice, and you're going to enforce the Bible on the nation. I understand that. But let's just listen to clip number 8.
We have stopped witnessing. We've stopped winning souls. Anybody who doesn't believe like we believe, we don't talk to them anymore. Anytime you segregate yourself, you isolate yourself and you diminish yourself. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And so we need to change as a church too. We need to start reaching out to all types of people and preaching to them and ministering to them and sharing our faith with them. I don't mean on Sunday morning. I mean in the mall. I mean in the grocery store. I mean while you're getting your hair done. It's time for you to be a real Christian. I mean a real Christian, and win people to Jesus Christ, and you can start in your own house.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. He can make it as clear as anyone and can move a crowd as clearly as anyone. Amen, amen, amen. That was what he was saying in terms of, look, it's not the end of the world. You know, the Supreme Court made its decision. What we got to do is preach Jesus and win people to the Lord. Amen. Absolutely. And he said, look, they were discussing what the Constitution says. Of course, it was horrific ruling in terms of being an unconstitutional ruling. The problem in the articles that I read about the message was that he never once said that the decision itself was wrong in terms of what the Bible says about the definition of marriage. It's just not that difficult in the context of in a message, especially when the world is listening to you, to make one clear statement. That's the issue. Amen. The solution is preaching the gospel and living out the gospel. That's the solution, as well as seeking to influence the courts and the political realm. But amen, our greatest weapon is prayer and the word, preaching the gospel, living godly lives, making a difference in the world, and multiplying disciples. That's how you're going to change the nation. But that's not the only way that it's changed. That is the primary way that it's changed. We also get involved in other parts of society so as to make an impact and to make a difference. But just say somewhere in the message and reinforce what God's definition of marriage is and why two men or two women in God's sight cannot marry and why the Supreme Court decision was dreadfully wrong, and then bring the rest of the message. 866-34-TRUTH. Joey, I called you Matt. Were you flattered or insulted? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see. We go over to John. We don't go to John. Let's go to Lance in Asheville, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, I just wanted to say, in Proverbs, Proverbs 28, I think it was 1, talks about how, you know, the wicked flee, but the righteous are as bold as the lion.
Yeah, 29:1.
No.
Yep. Sorry, you're at 29. No, you're right. Go ahead.
But nevertheless, I just think, you know, especially with someone with that much influence, and, you know, it goes into Brian Houston, that thing too, as well as Carl Lentz, which I respect all three of those leaders, but at the same point, you know, it comes to the point where you got to decide whether you're going to be cowardice or you're going to be righteous. And I think there's a fine line there. And I think that Bishop Jakes, and I respect his ministry, but Bishop Jakes, you know, didn't stand up for the word of God like he should have. And, you know, I don't want to say he deserves the criticism, but you get what you... When you're vague, that's what you get, you know? And so I say that respectfully, but...
Look, here's the thing. If you are on clear record on Oprah, on CNN, with Huffington Post, and clearly on record as saying, of course, the word is clear, homosexual practice is sinful, and two men, two women cannot marry. But that doesn't mean we don't love people. And that doesn't mean that we use slurs. And that doesn't mean that you go on and on with all your points. If you've done that and everyone knows what you're saying, then you don't necessarily have to repeat it every interview. But when it hasn't been said clearly, when direct questions are asked and what often comes is a more of a political sounding answer, so at the end you don't know where the person stands. Look, I'm rooting for my Christian brothers. I'm rooting for these fellow leaders, some of whom have platforms much larger than my platform. I'm rooting for them. I want them to do well. It's not like I'm sitting there to criticize. Like, come on, just say it. Say it. And I'm not going around hunting for their last interview or comment. These are being sent to me. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Colleagues, people on our team, people on, have you seen this? Dr. Brown, I'm concerned. I read this. I saw this. So as I have opportunity, I look at things and I go, oh, come on. Just say it clearly in the midst of it. 866-342-TRUTH. Thank you, Lance, for the call. All right, we have reconnected with John in Brockton, Massachusetts. You're on the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Bless the Lord. I hope that our black brothers and sisters does not take this opportunity to brand you as a racist, because as soon as you begin to express dissatisfaction or accuracy of what was spoken by a black person, very quickly, you know, we take the opportunity to brand you as someone who is racist. But I'm so disappointed in Bishop T.D. Jakes. This is not the first time, second or the third time he had been specifically asked this question, and he had always dodged himself out of it. I would just want to know, if someone had asked him about polygamy, would he have provided the same explanation that he did? Because he certainly did not answer the question, and it is so discouraging for a young person like me to hear such an influential man not able to express what the Bible says. And towards the caller who called earlier, if Bishop T.D. Jakes really wanted to speak about the word in his response, he was provided the opportunity. He said something about the word in just one word. He could have as easily opened the scripture, refer them to the Old Testament, refer them to the New Testament in the same breath, and provide a clear, biblical, loving answer.
Yeah, John, I'm very much with you. Hey, look. I was on the air with Mark Lamont Hill on Piers Morgan, December of, 2013. And Mark Lamont Hill believes the word says one thing about homosexual practice. I mean, his answer was extraordinarily weak with several errors built into it. And I jumped in and corrected it. And then the subject changed after that. If anyone just puts in my name and Piers Morgan on YouTube, you'll be able to see the exchange. But Mark Lamont Hill believes that the word says something very different. So when T.G. Jakes says, look, the word doesn't change, society changes, what does that actually mean? I mean, Mark Lamont Hill might think that Jakes agrees with him, Bishop Jakes agrees with him. So it behooves us, look, if you're going to make a clear statement on your Facebook page, right, which is primarily going to be read by people that are with you, if you're going to make a clear statement, hopefully to the Christian press later this week, Christian Post or Charisma or others that wanted to interview him, if that's the case, okay, then you got to make a clear statement to the world. They're the ones that really need to hear it and know where you stand. Because these days, the assumption is if you're progressive, you know, you agree with these things. And John, I do appreciate the concern about racist accusation. And thankfully, you know, our brothers and sisters in the Lord know better than that. And look, I made a public appeal to Pastor John MacArthur, who's white. I made a public appeal to Joel Osteen, who's white, to Jim Wallace, who's white, to Rob Bell, who's white, quite a list. So it's going to be a stretch to make it into a racial issue. But you will have people on any side of an issue that are going to see things through wrong eyes. By the way, John, how old are you?
I'm 34.
34, okay, because you referenced being a young man. Why in
your views? Know.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, I knew from your voice you weren't a teenager, but as you're looking at this as a younger man, all right, you know, you could easily be married with you know, 10-year-old kid at your age easily, but you're still younger as opposed to the older generation, or, you know, you're not old enough to run for president or things. It's you're saying it's important that the elders speak with clarity for the sake of the younger ones. That's part of what you're saying, yes?
Yes, exactly, because I work with the youth in my church, and they are hungering, they are thirsting for clear biblical explanation, because they are bombarded at school,
yes,
at their community activities with questions like these, and the church has got to provide the right explanation,
yes, sir,
for children.
Amen. Amen to your words, sir. God bless you. All right, we'll be back with more. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, first of all, has your thinking evolved on this?
Evolved and evolving. Mm-hmm. Evolved and evolving.
That was Bishop Jake's answer to his position as evolved and evolving on homosexual issues. On his Facebook page, he said, was it earlier today or late last night? It would have been posted that he meant how to minister to the gay and lesbian communities evolved and evolving. I'm curious, though, when you're asked about biblical position, why not say, well, the word is totally clear, that's nothing changed on that, but we have greater insight in how to reach out. But then why tell gays and lesbians, well, go to the church of your choice then? How is that reaching them? Isn't that affirming them in sin and deception? Those are very, very important questions that have to be asked. And I would not think Bishop Jakes was ever the kind of person for years and years now as a leader with his massive congregation there in Texas, that he was the one that would drive off LGBT-identified people from his congregation with harsh words from the pulpit. So, again, it makes you wonder, what does evolved and evolving mean? What are people going to take it to mean when people are shifting left and right on these issues? 866-34-TRUTH. We go to our friend Raj in Vienna, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for bringing God's word and the mind of Christ to this. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
We were talking, you've very clearly expressed that great divide between what is settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. And what is evolving and keeps evolving with the person's own development, spiritual development maybe, or physical changes or whatever. And in this matter, to inject our freedom of religion and our constitution and what the Supreme Court says requires a lot of skill, but also discernment. I would like you to please comment on the following.
Go ahead.
There are self-evident truths. This is the basis. If they're self-evident truths, are they changing? If so, what are they grounded in? What are they founded in? And therefore, our belief in the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, being grounded in that, and being grounded in his word, which our Lord himself emphasized in sending to us the Holy Spirit, the living God, who will guide us unto all truth.
Yeah, Raj, what I would say is that the word is our anchor. The word is the anchor for our soul. The word is the compass by which we live and find direction and find clarity. And when God has laid out fundamental truths that for us as believers, whatever those truths are, as clear as the sun shining, we must live by those, and those must be the things that inform us and by which we renew our mind. And to the extent we are immersed in the word and have the word in our heart, in our mind, to that extent, as we do that, we will see profound change. radical change come in our thinking and our approach and the clarity with which we live. This must be the anchor. If we're more influenced by the media and the culture than by the eternal truths of God's word, we will shift and we will stray. And there will be a wrong evolving in our views. 866-34-TRUTH. Go over to... All right, we won't go to Brooklyn, New York. Look, let me say this again. I am not out to bash anyone. I'm doing my best to be constructive. It's not my fault if a public leader and a public platform makes absolutely ambiguous statements that many then question and then come asking for clarity because they're confused. When we reach out and don't get responses, we need to address things for the sake of the body. If I got on this national radio show and said some things that raised real concern, and then in that context did not respond when others asked me for clarity, you're a pastor and you contacted our ministry and said, Dr. Brown, do you now hold this? It sounds like you do. If I seem to make a comment, I'll make something ridiculous. If I seem to make a comment that I believe that there's really life on Mars and that Martians created this idea of the Christian faith, and you question our ministry, Dr. Brown, did you really say that? And then you go and get the tape and listen to it, and it sounds like what I said, and you got a bunch of people in your church asking about it, and now it's time to address it among your people. I haven't responded. You don't have to apologize for saying, I'm still trying to get clarity from Dr. Brown, but we don't believe this. We absolutely don't believe this. And if, in fact, this is what you believe, then please state it plainly. If it's not, please repudiate it. This is just being responsible as shepherds. All right, that's all we are talking about is being responsible as shepherds. All right, Buddy Seiko from Houston, Texas. Stay right there, bud. We are pressed with time, and I don't want to cut us off right here. So stay right there, and maybe right at the top of the new hour, we can chat for a few minutes. Friends, I'm making an appeal for clarity. My new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, to my surprise, is now available. In fact, someone got a copy before I even knew it was out. It's now available. And when you order it, you get a free DVD from our ministry, $30 postage paid, a beautiful hardcover volume, and the DVD. Together, the list price value, well over $45 with postage. So it's a good savings. But more importantly, the book is essential. This book will be the call not to throw in the towel, but the call to stand tall. Mordecai will not bow. It's a call to say we will not capitulate to culture, but with love, with compassion, and then with eye-opening report after report and story after story that will indicate to you that we cannot redefine marriage without making it meaningless, that we cannot continue this assault on gender before it self-destructs. And there's actually encouragement that unless Jesus comes first, the tide is going to turn. Outlasting the Gay Revolution, plus my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley on is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? That's an eye-opening debate. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to order. My bottom line today, there are many things that we can differ on and discuss, but dogmatic, fundamental, moral, biblical truths we must address with absolute clarity. Preachers, pastors, leaders, I'm appealing to you. Can we please have some public clarity about moral issues and the Bible?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we have a lot to talk about today on The Line of Fire, including an interview I'm going to be doing in a few minutes with some encouraging news regarding Walmart and morality. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. If you've not read my latest article, Bishop Jakes, could you please clarify your comments on homosexuality? It's an important article to read, and we're looking forward to Bishop Jakes addressing some of these issues, as many have been confused by a recent interview on the Huffington Post. There is a friend, ministry colleague, pastor in Houston, Pastor Seiko. Didn't get you the end of last hour, so I'm just going to bring you on before we get to our next guest. Welcome back to Line of Fire, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I've been listening to the program and, you know, and also been following this article with Jakes on the Huffington Post. And I think, you know, they want to let people know just to be aware of the character of who Jakes is. This man is a chameleon. I mean, if anybody can track back to the Elephant Room 2 video that he was on with I think it was, I forgot his name, from Chicago, just that quick, James McDonald in Chicago from Harvest Bible Chapel in Chicago. He invited Jakes on to ask him about his views on the Trinity. Bottom line, you know, Dr. Brown, Jakes is a modalist. He denies the Trinity. He does not believe that, you know, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. If you look at his belief statement online, he says three manifestations of one God. He does not say three persons. He says three manifestations. Mm-hmm. So he basically, you know, among other things, the prosperity gospel, his son as well was, you know, picked up for homosexuality or, you know, exposing himself to other male undercover officers. I mean, there's a lot of things that goes on with this man in his church that people in the body of Christ, and particularly Dr. Brown, in the black church need to be aware, and this man needs to be exposed. So him basically saying that he's evolving, it's just a matter of time before he welcomes the LGBT gay agenda and end up maybe even coming out himself, because he makes a lot of effeminate and a lot of, homosexual overtones in his preaching. I mean, giving birth.
Right, so here's a question for you.
Sure.
The fact that obviously the modalist issue, that's come up many times. Is he a modalist or is he a Trinitarian? That's come up, and that obviously people need to look at what's been said regarding his son and sexual sin. Obviously, you can't indict the family or indict him.
Right.
That Bishop Jakes, and the fact that the video that I played and commented on from a Pastor Dewey Smith that I think you've had interaction with or strong views on
other
on other subjects, but in point of fact, he talked about the elephant in the room and talked about all the gay choir directors, and a pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina, has written a book, and he addresses these things and said, hey, look, you go to big black church, big rally with black pastors, and you got the guys with the pink shirts and the effeminate behavior. We all know it, but we don't say anything. That being said, under no circumstances do we want to pass judgment on someone. Look, there is someone I was watching an interview on. I won't mention the person's name.
Right.
A white Christian guy. Very respected, strong stand for moral issues. And I'd never noticed this, but some gay websites were saying, I wonder if he's gay. Look, he's got these mannerisms and the way he does things. And so, you know, we've got to really not look in that direction. But, and I'll say this, I got to run. We'll chat more about these issues. Let's pray and hope for the best. And if there's sin, skeletons in the closet, we're leading double lives, then we better repent in a hurry, or may God expose it. Let it be the same for all of us in leadership and ministry. I mean that from my heart. If we're in sin, we better repent. If not, let it be exposed.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was back in the early 90s that my wife Nancy said to me, you got to do something about these magazines in the checkout counters. We had a big store, still there, a big food chain called Giant Food, where we lived in Maryland, and they had the biggest stores, the nicest stores, cleanest stores, slightly higher price, but it was worth it, and real strong family value, family ethic. They even had one checkout aisle that was a no candy aisle, so you could check out without the kids being around candy. And I reached out to them and said, they're magazines that are really offensive. You've got all these vulgar titles. You've got these vulgar pictures. You've got kids being exposed to stuff. You keep them away from it at home. But you just go to the grocery store to get milk and diapers. And why these magazines at the checkout counters? It ended up becoming a national story. Before I had a national ministry in that regard or a national voice, it became a national story and the whole bit. And we said, we're not talking about censorship. Just, you know, remove them to another part of the store or something. And the one we focused on, we even had a face-to-face meeting with marketing folks from Cosmopolitan to discuss these things. That's the magazine that we said was the chief offender. Well, I'm being joined by Lisa L. Thompson. She serves as the Director of Education and Outreach for the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. So she oversees their strategic planning for increased public understanding of sexual exploitation-related issues. And something's recently happened with regard to Walmart and Cosmopolitan magazine. Lisa, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Brown.
All right, Lisa, in light of the decadence of our society right now, the availability of pornography, teenagers sending naked pictures to each other, the confusion about the meaning of marriage, gender, someone might say, you know, magazines in the checkout counters at Walmart, why even care about that? Why focus on that? And what has actually happened with Walmart and Cosmopolitan?
Right. Well, I understand the feeling that the futility that some people may have, that we're kind of swimming in this sea, this hypersexualized culture that we live in. But the campaign that we've been working on with Victoria Hearst to see Cosmopolitan get covered up, I mean, really what we're advocating for is just that, you know, there's a time and a place. And if some people want this kind of content, then they should have to go seek it in the appropriate place. But like you say, you know, most of us want to go to the grocery store to get our groceries. We don't want to be accosted by these hypersexualized, pornified images and messages. And I think, you know, if we can't stake a claim for the grocery store, the convenience store, these very, you know, the kind of places that every American is going to be going and trying to get the daily necessities of life. You know, we just want a safe zone for children's families. And for, you know, I myself, I'm not a mother, but I find myself consistently offended by these images. So as a single woman without children, I would like to see, you know, these magazines covered up. So that's why. And no, is there's many different things that groups can, you know, that people might choose to focus on. This is just one thing. And actually, we advocate for and go after different offenders. And every year we have a campaign that goes against what we call the Dirty Dozen. So Cosmo isn't the only thing that we're focused on. It's just one thing. And you only eat an elephant one bite at a time. So we're just going to keep chewing away at it.
Right. So we'll talk about the breakthrough with Walmart in one moment. But look, it's the very argument we gave in the early 90s. And it's in the beginning of my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. I tell the story of what happened. That we said, look, you're there with kids. Our younger daughter learned to read even earlier than her older sister. So she was three when she learned to read. So, you know, maybe she's riding in the cart as you're checking out, you know, in these magazines, or, you know, could be eye level for the little kids. She's going to read all kinds of things that she'd never in 10 years be hearing in our home or seeing. And so I said, you got the kids being bombarded. You got a lot of men don't want to look at that. They'd rather avoid that. And then women feel exploited. And you know, they're checking out, single women and mothers as well. So here's the larger question. The culture of sexual exploitation, that ultimately is seen in human trafficking and child pornography and things like that. In your mind, is this all connected with the same type of stuff that's on Cosmopolitan or a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue? I'm not making them morally equivalent. I'm not saying Sports Illustrated right. swimsuit issue is the same as human trafficking, but are they all part of this larger complex of sexual exploitation?
Well, I like that you use the word complex. I would say yes. I've actually come out of the anti-sex trafficking advocacy movement and have worked in that field for 15 years. And over the years that I was involved in that, increasingly I became convinced that both pornography and just the hypersexualized media that we're all bombarded with on a regular basis, that these are very much create an atmosphere that allows sex trafficking to flourish. Now, can I say that Cosmo causes sex trafficking? No. But right. do I think it plays a part in creating a culture in which sex trafficking happens? Absolutely. So, you know, it's portraying women as sexual objects. It's trying to appeal to young teenage girls through the types of women, a lot of times very young women who are popular with teenage girls as the cover women on the magazine. So that has a lot of appeal to teenage girls. And then within the issue itself, you've got it's continually promoting risky sexual behaviors. So, you know, if you just look at the August issue, they're talking about love, sex, and weed. So combining, you know, now you can, they're talking about pot and drugs, hookups, anal sex, threesomes. These are things that are regularly brought up, which are harmful. You know, I don't think any doctor worth their salt would tell you that, you know, a threesome doesn't carry risk, or anal sex isn't a risky sexual practice. But yet these are the types of things that are continually promoted within the pages of Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, and so, there is, I'm sorry, there is the larger effect of just dulling sensitivities.
Yeah, so thank you for, yeah, so there's, is this helping to groom young girls, I think, condition them so that they have lower sexual inhibitions, they're more prone to take sexual risks. You know, they have less inhibition, and they're being taught to look at themselves for their sexuality, for their, quote, hotness factor, right? So they want to emulate, they're being taught to emulate the types of women in messaging that is put out there in Cosmo. So, you know, if you're a 25-year-old woman and you want to look at Cosmo, fine. I just think you should have to go look for it in the back of the store under a wrapper or under some kind of binder. I don't think it should be readily accessible and thrust into the faces of people who are just trying to get their bread and milk and, you know, keep themselves and their families fed when they're going to the grocery store. So there, as you were saying, I think there definitely is a connection between the messaging that we see in publications like Cosmopolitan and the desensitization of young girls of being taught to look at themselves as sexual objects, being taught to that certain sexual practices, you know, aren't as risky or just they're just fun. It's just sex is just an entertainment sport as opposed to something with some intimate meaning, values, things like love and bonding. Those are not the kinds of messages that come across in Cosmo. And I think it helps set girls up to be more vulnerable for the exploiters who are out there.
Yeah, and look, let's be realistic. You get a 5 or 6 year old girl or an 8 or 10 year old girl watching the latest music video with some girls, you know, gyrating and singing and the most vulgar moves. They may not even understand what the moves mean, but they mimic them. And then they dress a certain, they do their hair a certain way. Look, I saw Jimi Hendrix in concert at the age of 13. And at the age of 14, I was getting high. Was there a connection between the two? Yes, because I wanted to be like the rock stars. I played drums, and they were cool, and they did drugs. And, you know, these things are emulated. And then, you know, you got to look a certain way, and not just look a certain way, but behave a certain way. There's a bombardment in the culture. We just got a minute before the break, and I've got a couple more questions. We can stay on a few minutes longer. But with Walmart now, apparently they agreed years ago that they would put a cover over Cosmopolitan, and they were then sent by organization. They were sent pictures of stores across the country that did not have them covered. And they've said, no, no, they will act on that. Is that correct?
That's correct. So the organization I work for, the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, we've been communicating with Walmart, and we had learned that they had a policy, but it just apparently wasn't being enforced because we had contacts from across the country send us photos from various stores, and only one of them was the Cosmo covered. So in continuing dialogue with them, they said, hey, thank you for bringing this attention. We're going to enforce our policy. So now 5,000 stores, we're going to have them covered.
Good. Hey, look, it's a step in the right direction. So I want to talk with Lisa about what can we do. We'll give you their website, how to connect with them. How can we actually make a difference? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I am speaking with Lisa Thompson. We are talking about issues of sexual exploitation. And Lisa serves as the Director of Education and Outreach for the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. So, Lisa, here's something that all of us deal with. And we see the great problems in our society, and there are many. You can focus on pro-life issues and be consumed with that. You can focus on the use of the poor and be consumed with that. You can focus on world outreach or the rising tide of radical Islam or moral cultural issues with the degeneration of marriage and family, etc. They're all overwhelming. But when you look at the issue of sexual exploitation, I mean, where do you start? You've got the human trafficking and child pornography, one extreme. On the other side, you've got the constant inundation through the media. It seems like you're just putting a Band-Aid on someone with a heart attack and cancer when you get a breakthrough. But obviously, there are breakthroughs. And one life at a time is all that counts. So how do you as an organization approach this, and how do you get strategic? How do you decide what to do, where to put your focus? Because otherwise it can be overwhelming.
Right. Well, there are a lot of different areas in which we could direct our attention. But one of the things that we do on an annual basis is come out with a Dirty Dozen list, which is trying to, you know, pinpoint or hone attention on some of the top dozen offenders. And the list doesn't stay the same every year, but sometimes you have the same ones who consistently stay on the list, and then other times some groups will actually shift their policy. They'll make changes. And so the National Center on Sexual Exploitation is seeing some momentum of, you know, some changes that have come out of the work that we've done on the Dirty Dozen list, and that's something folks can check out on our website. But then the project on Cosmopolitan, it's been something we've been working. We have had featured them on the Dirty Dozen list, and we're really excited about the progress that's being made. As you mentioned before the break, Walmart will be enforcing its policy to cover up Cosmos at 5,000 stores across all the United States. And then Rite Aid, that's another 4,000 stores. And then the Delhaize, which corporation, Delhaize America, which has Food Lion and Hanna Food Stores. So with that, we're getting another 1,200 stores covered with this policy to cover up. Now, it's not going to completely cover, I think, in most of these stores. It'll at least cover up those steamy lines you always see on the covers, talking about, you know, different sex acts or hot sex moves. Those types of things will no longer be, you won't be able to see those any longer.
Yeah. And look, again, every little bit counts. And this is not a little bit. You're talking about thousands and thousands of stores, but you're talking about millions and millions of customers, and it will get your attention. There is a moral, right at that moment, a moral statement is being made. That's one thing. And then secondly, to whatever degree of desensitizing is taking place, or even alluring people and younger people, that's being removed. So look, I'm an all or nothing kind of person. I want to see the whole world change tomorrow. It's just not the way it is. It's not the way it is. in any area. Lisa, the website is?
Oh, it's insexualexploitation.org. Is our website, and on there you can look under our projects. You'll see the Dirty Dozen list. You'll see Cosmopolitan listed there, among with others like American Apparel, Backpage.com, 50 Shades of Grey. You know, there's all different. You know, there's several different, either whether it's books or entities like institutions like the American Library Association that play a part in promoting pornography, desensitizing the country, even facilitating prostitution and sex trafficking and exploitation of girls and prostitution like Backpage.com. So we're concerned about all those, and we're excited that, you know, we're getting some traction, particularly on this Cosmo campaign, and because it definitely connects with young. We know that young people are consuming this content. Like, just in this August issue, there was a hand-drawn Cosmo cover that was sent in, that they printed in the magazine, from a Girl Scout troop in Sacramento, California, from us, from sixth graders.
Wow.
Now, and for, you know, any of your listeners, if you were to go and pick up the August issue of Cosmo and look inside, I think you would be absolutely mortified to think of your, you know, 11, 12-year-old teenage girls reading this magazine, because it's just full of, you know, it's sort of like the Playboy forum contents that used to when Playboy was in its heyday, just all kinds of very graphic sexual articles promoting different kinds of sexual behaviors, definitely normalizing them with the audience, the readers, and I certainly, if I was a mother, wouldn't want my teenage girl reading this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I remember years ago. I'm going to make this as general as I can. We knew a teenage girl who was similar in age to our daughters, kind of right between them, in a particular place where we once lived. And we noticed that she started to get really worldly. And even though she was raised in a believing home, and the way she would do her hair, the way she would dress as she started to develop and things, I remember thinking, what in the world is happening to this girl? And anyway, she read all these magazines, not Cosmo, but kind of the glamour magazine. She was younger, you know, and we just said to the parents, we don't think it's a good idea. I mean, the stuff in it is just bad examples. It wasn't overtly sexual, but it was all going a certain direction. Well, we lost touch for some years, found out the girl became a stripper. Now, I don't mean that every girl that reads glamour is going to become a stripper. But we watched the influence of the magazines on her. And certainly, you know, these things have formative value, for better or for worse. So thank God for what you're doing and the stand you're taking. And yeah, every bit of progress is big news. We celebrate it with you and appreciate you being on the front lines. It's a vital ministry. It's a vital work. And ultimately, even though people in the world may hate us for it, we're helping them as well.
Right. I hope that we can be seen as a light, you know. And I know, you know, some people say, "Oh, we're trying to, you know, we're censors, or we don't, you know, believe in human sexuality, or something like that." Nothing could be further from the truth. We're just tired of people having, you know, being force fed garbage level type of food. You know, if we're talking in terms of sexuality, we believe there's a much better fare on offer if we follow some biblical principles towards human sexuality, common morality when it comes to human sexuality, which is really absent from what these types of publications. It's just sex as a free-for-all sport, and really devoid of mutuality, devoid of bonding, devoid of commitment, and the things that, you know, really give sexuality its meaning and significance between a man and a woman. So we're very concerned about what's out there, and like I said too, all the various harmful sex acts that are particularly being promoted towards minors, you know, by minors.
Thank God for shining light. God's ways are ways of life. When we promote life, society as a whole benefits. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. Stand in the right direction. Do the right thing. Every little bit helps. This is Michael Brown. I have been appealing to Christian leaders, to pastors, to those with prominent national platforms, international platforms, to speak with clarity on the controversial moral and cultural issues. Compassion and clarity are not mutually opposing forces. Can I say that again? Compassion and clarity are not mutually opposing forces. Grace and truth are not enemies. My new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, due out September 8th, to my surprise, is now available. We now have the book available a month before schedule. The ebook can't be ordered for another few weeks. As soon as our books are numbered, I will be signing them for those who pre-ordered a signed, numbered copy. We're so blessed to be able to send those out to those that especially ordered those. But everyone can order the book today, and we'll be have them available to ship very, very soon. But the book is out. Why do I bring that up in the context of what I'm saying? In the book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, subtitle, Where Homosexual Activism is Really Going and How to Turn the Tide, in that book, I lay out plainly, number one, why gay activism has within it the seeds of self-destruction, and number two, how we must live to turn the tide. If Jesus doesn't come first, I believe the tide will turn. And I lay out eight principles for living, and I explain how these interface with what's happening in society. Number one, never compromise your convictions. Say it out loud with me. Well, maybe you can't wherever you are, but if you can, never compromise your convictions. Number two, take the highest moral ground. We will not win the war. I'm talking about cultural war. We will not win it by being nasty, mean-spirited. We will not win it being hypocritical, self-righteous, and arrogant. We will win it by overcoming evil with good, by overcoming hatred with love, by overcoming lies with truth, by overcoming the power of the flesh with the power of the spirit. That's how we will bring about revolutionary, radical change. We must be changed. We bring change to the world around us. And you may not see change come instantly, but every life counts. When your own kid, let's say you got four kids, and one of your kids is really struggling on certain issues, and they get clarity and conviction. Mom, Dad, I know what I believe on this now. Isn't that a major breakthrough? When you have a colleague at work who's been mocking you and mocking your stance and mocking your values, and that person comes to faith and gets born again, isn't that enough to lift your spirits for months to come? When one person is going to have an abortion, and comes to conviction and realizes there's hope, there's a better way, and decides not to, isn't that something to shout about? And we get a testimony a couple weeks back of a woman whose twin sister in a lesbian relationship about to, quote, get married, comes under conviction when the sister witnesses to her, comes to faith, is born again, and says she can't go ahead with the, quote, wedding. That's big news. That's big news. It's only one life. Each is only one life. But each one is big. I want to encourage you, and my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, will encourage you to have hope. Not time to throw in the towel. Not time to give up. Not time to capitulate. By the way, we have it this week, only here in the Line of Fire, with a very special offer with a free DVD. I'll tell you about that on the other side of the break. I'm not discouraged. No reason to be discouraged whatsoever.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have been blessed by some of the endorsements for my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. My friend Dr. Frank Turek said this: what if much of the gay revolution has been built on misinformation and misperception? What if children, families in America are being harmed by the gay revolution? What if those unintended harms could be reversed with grace and truth? Dr. Michael Brown will stun you with insight in this revealing and inspiring book. He not only gives you a practical plan to make a difference for good, but reminds us that being on the wrong side of history is actually being on the right side of his story. Ray Comfort said this: if you are as eloquent or as knowledgeably or as gracious as Michael Brown when it comes to the subject of homosexuality, I pray that God uses this publication to equip the church to be peacemakers and bring light to those who sit in the shadow of death. We're blessed by many endorsements from different Christian leaders and folks on the front lines of relevant issues we're talking about today. And right at the beginning of the book, in the preface, I quote these words from Justin Martyr. Justin Martyr, famous early church leader, second century, and of course, martyred for his faith. He said this in his first apology, so about the year 155, "And reckon ye that it is for your sakes we have been saying these things. For it is in our power when we are examined to deny that we are Christians, but we would not live by telling a lie." We would not live by telling a lie. Do you get what he's saying? Do you understand Justin Martyr's point? We're doing this for your good. We could find a way out. We could, when we're being tortured and being brought before the emperor, we could have a way out and deny the faith, but we couldn't live by telling a lie. And we're doing this for your sake. We are your witnesses. There's a quote I have at the end of the preface from Melissa Michella, assistant professor of philosophy at the Catholic University of America. I'm not sure if her name is Michella or Muscella, but listen, pronunciation. Listen to what she said. "Perhaps there are times and places in the history of the world in which it is possible to go through life as just an ordinary good person, a faithful spouse, a loving parent, a concerned citizen, a regular churchgoer, an honest and industrious professional, leading a normal, quiet life, not making waves or standing out in any way. Perhaps. But the United States of America in the year 2014 is not one of those times and places. Rather, in our contemporary society, the only way to be good is to be heroic. Failing to act with heroism inevitably makes us complicit in grave evils. We must be prepared to live not just good, but heroic lives. We must be prepared to risk popularity, reputation, professional success, economic well-being, and it may yet come to this, perhaps even our lives, in order to defend the dignity of human life in all its stages. The value of sexual integrity, the truth about marriage and family, and the right to live in accordance with one's beliefs in all spheres of life, may we all heroically rise to this great challenge of our time." My book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, is a call to courage. It is a call to stand strong in the midst of cultural and moral collapse. It will inspire you. It will inform you. When you order this week, this is only through the Line of Fire, we are giving you free, with the book, a DVD of my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, America's most famous rabbi, called "Is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis?" The debate is an eye-opener. It is a riveting debate. It was recorded at Southern Evangelical Seminary outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's yours when you order the book. Postage paid as well, just $30. So to order the book, 300 pages, plus the DVD, free coming with it, call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll find it right on the homepage. Once more, 1-800-278-2278. William Fry said this. 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978. William Fry, Episcopal Seminarian, said this: one of the most attractive features of the early Christian communities was their radical sexual ethic and their deep commitment to family values. These things drew many people to them who were disillusioned by the promiscuous excesses of what proved to be a declining culture. Wouldn't it be wonderful for our church to find such countercultural courage today? You better believe it. You better believe it. 866-34-TRUTH. So my appeal to Christian leaders around the world, my appeal to Christian leaders in particular in America, is to speak with clarity on critically important moral and doctrinal issues that shouldn't be so hard for us to do. Should it? It should not be that hard for us to do when the word is so clear on so many key subjects. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ella in Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to thank God for you and thank God because what you do, in what you do, the name of God is glorified. I know I'm a child of God and it gets frustrating when you go to church and you hear all this information about pastors who will not make their stance clear. The Bible talks about the word of God being an inspiration for reproof, for correction. People, pastors just seem to glaze over that verse in the Bible. For reproof, for correction. Also, it's very disheartening when you see these happening and with the Supreme Court decision. But when I listened to you, I got a bit encouraged because when the decision came out, it was like, all hope is lost. What's the way forward? What happens now? But I got strengthened because you had spoken about Christians not getting discouraged. In fact, that this was going to be like a catalyst for greater things to happen in the church. And that's actually true because now there is a clear divide and you have to take a stance. There is no more being impartial or standing on the fence or any of that. Now a stance has to be taken. And unfortunately, most of these pastors have refused to take that stance. They forget that the Bible says we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world. What are we supposed to do? How can you be the light of the world and you hide under a bushel? I think that's what Pastor T.D. Jake has done. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but it goes to, you know, show how true the word of God is. Because eventually, the wolves in sheep clothing will be exposed. I thank God that he has kept you and he has kept men like John MacArthur. I know you had said you had made a plea to John MacArthur to make his stance clear. I know that there was a sermon he preached. And if you go to his website, you'll see it. We will not bow.
Ella, let me say this. First, thank you for the kind words. I do appreciate it. And look, I'm expecting Bishop Jakes to make some very clear statements later in this week. My plea is make them to the world. Don't just make them at a Christian publication. Make them on CNN. Make them with Huffington Post. Make them on Oprah so people can know. Pastor John MacArthur has always been clear. I've differed with him on charismatic issues, but I've always commended him because he has been loud and clear, has never backed down. And look, I like Joel Osteen's smiling face. I love the fact that many people associate his smiling face and his gentle demeanor with the message of Jesus. He's a friend of sinners, but please tell sinners what they need to do to be saved.
Yes.
Please, be a friend of sinners that's really going to help them find repentance and transformation. So I understand we don't want to be off-putting. We don't want to seem mean-spirited. We don't want to seem like some fanatical, negative person. But to go back to where we started, your quote, from 2 Timothy, the end of the third chapter, beginning of the fourth chapter, the word of God is there for warning and for reproof and for correction. It's not just there for comfort, 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 comfort. So as it's often said, that God afflicts the comfortable and comforts the afflicted, mm-hmm. whereas Satan afflicts the afflicted and comforts the comfortable. So we've got to speak the truth in love, regardless of whether it's popular or not. But Ella, thank you for the call, and let us be encouraged together in the Lordship of Jesus and the ultimate triumph of the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Joey, let's grab some of those Ben Carson clips, and let's see how he talks to the media about pro-life issues. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown calling for clarity, for spiritual and moral clarity, for the word to go forth with trumpet-like clarity. Doesn't mean insulting people, doesn't mean being nasty, doesn't mean being mean-spirited. It means speaking the truth in love. Dr. Ben Carson, July 28th, he's on with Jake Tapper, CNN. He's being asked about the Planned Parenthood videos. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to the moral clarity and the very definite response, so you know where he stands on these issues. We'll start with clip number 9.
Now, the argument is that none of the federal money pays for abortion. That is separate funding, and that by defunding Planned Parenthood, you would be eliminating all these other vital medical procedures, which you as a doctor know. I know you oppose legal abortion, but what's your response to Ms. Lagance?
My response would be that all of the services that she mentioned are available through multiple other sources. And to take an organization that not only makes money by selling baby parts, but doesn't seem to understand the sanctity of human life and is willing to destroy that.
I would say that is a quite clear statement. First, he's debunking the idea. He is debunking the idea that Planned Parenthood, if you defund them, that people are going to get these health services. They're readily available elsewhere. And you're talking about an organization that's simply not worthy of funding, period, with trafficking in human body baby parts and not understanding the sanctity of life. Right. The dialogue continues. Next clip.
An organization whose founder believed in eugenics.
Talking about Margaret Sanger.
Yes, and even today, the plurality of their clinics are in minority communities.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't that make the argument that they would make, which is that the services that you're talking about, forget abortion for a second, but the services you're talking about are not available everywhere, and that's where minorities and people who are lower income get mammograms and treatment for STDs and birth control, et cetera?
I thought that they were supposed to be able to get all of those things based on Obamacare. Why do we need Planned Parenthood?
Yeah. Good comment. Yeah, thank you. T.T. Jake sounds like a politician. Carson sounds like a preacher, just based on the clips we've been listening to and interviews. Trust me, I listen to my Christian leader friends. I don't mean I'm a personal friend of T.T. Jake's, but I mean I listen to my Christian leader colleagues and ministry colleagues rooting for them. Come on, say it. Just say it. There's a reason. When I was on Piers Morgan, and I'd love to have opportunities to be in the secular media hot seat day and night. The Lord wants that, so be it. But there were people who were yelling at the TV when I was on, saying, yes, yes, just because they're frustrated with others not saying it. Thank God for everyone that does speak with clarity. Look, you know what it is to give a political answer. You know, Governor John Kasich was asked a specific question about a specific issue, and instead he talked about his track record in Ohio, which had nothing to do with it. And his answer, when asked about it, said, yeah, well, we had limited time, and I wanted to make sure everybody knew my track record. That's not what you were asked during the debate. You're asked about a certain subject. If you said to me, well, Mike Brown, here's a question that came up when you were debating this gay activist. How do you respond to it? I've had many wonderful debates with my friend Rabbi Shmuley. And no, that wasn't the question. The question was debated with a gay activist. So there is the political answer or the politician's answer, and we're used to it. We all know it. You still don't know where the person stands afterwards by intent. Let us make ourselves clear. All right, one more clip from Ben Carson. Go ahead.
As a doctor, you're a pediatric neurosurgeon. What is your take on research that comes from either from fetal tissue parts or embryonic stem cell research? Where do you draw a line?
Well, virtually everything that can be attributed to progress by using fetal tissue can also use other types of tissue. So if it were the only way to do something and there was no other way, that might be an argument. But under these circumstances, it really is not a legitimate argument.
Exactly. As a doctor, hey, do you think he might possibly, slight chance, maybe know a little bit about what he's talking about? Maybe, possibly? Look, I don't know if Ben Carson is presidential material. I don't know how Mike Huckabee or Ted Cruz would do as president of the United States. But I do know in listening to these men and some others make crystal clear statements, you know where they believe. You know what they believe, and you know why they believe it. How they would perform. Have they been hypocrites? Have they been inconsistent on other issues? I hope not. I hope they'd perform well. But I don't know every detail there, and they're going to have their critics. But at least you know where they stand, and I believe that they would stand the same way, even if it didn't seem to be politically expedient, because it's what they believe. You know, it reminds me of the story of a guy who is on his hands and knees under a street light in New York City, and he's on his hands and knees looking around. And someone comes up to him and says, Mister, did you lose something? He said, yeah, I lost my watch. It's like a family heirloom that's been passed on to me. And the guy said, you need help looking? He said, yeah, I do. And he said, all right, so you lost it here under the streetlight? He goes, no, I lost it down the block. Well, why are you looking here? Well, he said, the light's better here. To me, it's that same kind of mentality that says, okay, even though these are my core convictions and the things that are most important to me, I know I can't be elected based on them. So because I want to be elected, I'm going to go with the more popular opinion. Well, then you're never going to get to your core convictions. With the analogy, you're never going to find the watch if you're just going where it's more convenient to look. If the whole reason you want to be elected is because you have these core principles, but you got to throw away the core principles in order to be elected, then who wants to vote for you, and why are you even running unless you just want to be somebody? Oh, and the same with us in leadership and ministry. I'm not on the radio to have the biggest Christian radio ministry in America, or writing articles to have the most read articles in America, writing books to have the most read books in America, if any of those things were possible anyway. I'm doing because I have a conviction, because I have a calling, because I have a burden. And that's why I want to get the message out. And if it means getting thrown off the air or no one reads a book because the message is unpopular, I'm not going to change the message to make it popular, because the goal is not to be popular. The goal is to be effective. That being said, I want to encourage you to get my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. It is a revolutionary manual for the counterculture movement. It is a call not to capitulate, but to stand tall. And as I say in the book, you can mock my words today, but you'll mark my words tomorrow. When you order Outlasting the Gay Revolution 300-page hardcover, you're getting a free DVD with it. Find out more on the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line: our calling is not to be popular politicians. Our calling is to be Jesus-centered world changers.